Today I want to talk about Mary Ann and the prayer. And I'm referring to Mary Ann, my wife, and I'm referring to the prayer in letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Here are three dates. August 28, 1998, October 14, 2010, and December 3, 2015. Two of the dates I really, really like. August 28, 1998, Mary Ann and I reconnected and began our relationship anew for the first time in 35 years. So I was amazingly pleased with that date. And we celebrated monthiversaries on the 28th of every month for the next 205 months. On October 14, 2010, in response to a kindness that I rendered to a woman, she gifted me PDFs that were called Christ's Letters. And in book form, they're Christ Returns Reveal Startling Truth, or Christ's Letters 2000 AD in the United Kingdom, in book form. The letters, nine of them, are, to me, absolutely the most fantastic written information and knowledge that I've ever encountered. In letter 8 is a prayer. And Christ in letter 8 recommends that we memorize the prayer, bring the consciousness of the words into our lives repeatedly before meditation, and then allow the consciousness to penetrate and elevate us. I would say that prayer every night aloud as Mary Ann and I were getting ready to go to sleep. Typically, Mary Ann would fall asleep faster, and first I might read after reciting the prayer. Before I got out of bed in the morning, I would say the prayer from letter 8. So I've been saying that prayer for a little over 5 years, every day and every night. And it occurred to me sometime in between that there was a one of the points talking about receiving awareness, like, oh, I thought awareness was like a light switch. You flip it on and all of a sudden you had awareness, as compared to awareness being a stream of consciousness being drawn to you and through you for your benefit. And once I got that, I was amazed. It took me about 4 years to get that point that was clear in the prayer. The other night, on December 3rd, 2015, Mary Ann died. The next time I said this prayer, that night, I realized that the prayer starts, Father, Mother, Life. Father God energy, Mother God energy, life. That the impulse to create and to express. That's how the prayer starts, Father, Mother, Life. But I realize that Mary Ann was an expression of godness. She was an expression of love. We want God is love. Well, I was married to love. I was living with love. I was watching love. I was the beneficiary of love. I was receiving all of this and being taught at the same time how to be loving. I was modeling it. Nobody was saying, this is how you be loving, this is how you be loving. I just watched it and to some extent absorbed it. And so I changed the prayer to read, Father, Mother, Life, Mary Ann. You are my life. I often wondered how it was that I was so in love with this girl as a young boy, seemingly having emotions that are much more mature than an 11 or a 12-year-old boy typically would have. How do I know? I've only been an 11 or 12-year-old boy in this lifetime once. But I was so in love with her, and I didn't really understand it. And she had the same feelings for me. So somehow, preceding this lifetime or an agreement or something, perhaps we had arranged to come in together. We're just a couple of months separate in terms of our age. I was born in March. She was born in May of that year. In the same small town, our parents knew one another. When we reconnected on August 28th, 1998, it was immediately wonderful. Talking on the telephone, laughing, recounting stories from our childhood and high school. It was fantastic. And I really started to live when she came back into my life. My constant support. Marianne had the ability to look at somebody and only see the good in them. I can recall one time saying, oh, I feel bad about myself, and I started criticizing myself, and I'm trying to induce her to join in criticizing me. She wouldn't do it. She said, well, first of all, I don't see it that way. I don't see you that way, the way you're speaking about yourself. And number two, I'm not investing any of my energy in finding fault with you. I don't see the point of that at all. So I'm going to just notice all your wonderful characteristics, all your attributes, and that's how I'm going to do it. And I was kind of shocked, and it dawned on me, and we talked about it immediately after that conversation, that being with Marianne was like looking in a mirror that only reflected your finest qualities back to you, your finest point. No zits, no scars, no flaws, no warts, no, just your finest qualities, which makes it pretty easy to really be yourself, because you're not trying to fake it, you're not trying to pretend, you're not trying to protect yourself, because you knew this woman was not interested in minimizing or demeaning or hurting anyone or anything. She was my support. In high school, she was a cheerleader, the captain of the squad, and she cheered for me. She got the chance to choose which player she cheered for, and she cheered for me. You are my life. You're my constant support, my health. Marianne took good care of me, much better care of me and others than she did of herself. She loved to cook, and her food was so creative, so imaginative, so delicious, so attractive appearance-wise, and incredibly healthy. She got into it. She really knew how to put it all together from a health and enjoyment perspective. And I certainly praise that behavior, because I do zero cooking, good cleaner-upper, but she was an artist in a kitchen. I refer to her as my kitchen ninja. The next phrase in the prayer is my perfect fulfillment of every need. There's a joke of friends and I that you have to be careful of what you say around Marianne. If you make a comment that she can possibly interpret as an expression of a need, whatever you just said you liked or admired or thought was cool, you would have it. She would make it, buy it, order it, ship it. It was like you have to be real, real careful. And it was funny how that happened. I once said to her when we lived in Naples, oh, look at that beautiful Rolls Royce. She heard an expression of a need. I was looking at a used Rolls Royce, and she's going, oh, wow. What do we have to sell in order to buy a Rolls Royce? What are we going to do about the garage? The garage is not big enough for a Rolls Royce. And when she started acting anxious, I said, honey, I was making a comment. I wasn't expressing a need. I don't want that Rolls Royce. I was just admiring it. Whew. But our first inclination is to fulfill people's needs. She is my highest inspiration. I know what love is. I know what competence is. I know what caring is. I know what stamina is, because I saw it modeled for 17 and a half years. And when I look back at our childhood, it was very clear that she didn't invest in criticism or judgments about other people. She just made stuff happen. She just made stuff happen. You could say something, and her ability to manifest, make things happen, was so astonishing. Everybody who knew her was amazed by that talent. The next sentence. I ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to me. And I added, again and again and again. The true reality of love was right across the table from me, right alongside of me in bed, sitting next to me in a car or a restaurant or holding my hand or whatever it is we're doing it together. And the true reality was right there. And I knew it. And I knew it. And I spoke to it. I said, I know this, Marianne. You are this unbelievable expression of goodness and godness. We spent our last couple of weeks in California. We've had this conversation many times, talking about spending time together. We sat right across from one another when we worked. We converted the dining room into the main office in our home. She sat on one side of the table and I sat on the other. And we would look at one another and we'd talk and look and talk and look. And occasionally if we had a conversation with a client and we needed quiet in the background, we would go into the office in the home. But I told her, if I spend 24 hours a day with you, and I do, it's not enough hours in the day. I want to be in your field more than 24 hours every single day. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful to have these feelings. I know other people say, that's crazy. That I need time apart. I need this. I need that. I didn't, and she didn't either, although she had a lot of things to do, and she did a lot of things out of the house, caring for other people. With that amount of love, I understood that love had to be shared. She's like a power station that had an amazing amount of energy, that it was silly to think that only I was going to be the recipient of that energy. I knew that was not a good idea. Too many people could benefit from this woman's ability to love and care and share. I know it is your will that I shall be fully illumined, that I may better receive awareness of your presence within and around me. Marianne always had great advice. Always had great advice. She was not a know-it-all. I was the know-it-all. She just knew the path that would produce the best results at any one moment. And if I listened without resistance, I experienced that good much sooner. Oftentimes we joked, it's like she said, did you do X yet? I said, no. How many times did you ask me? Two or one. I said, well, that explains it. As soon as you get to three, it's going to click for me, and then I'll do it. Marianne, personally, didn't need that. She'd have a thought, she would act. I'd have a thought and a thought and a thought and a thought and then complicate it before I would take action, if I ever did. If I listened to her advice or if I watched her in action, I oftentimes was pleased. And we were in San Francisco in our final days, and it was cold. We're from Florida. We're wearing sandals and no socks. And so we go into an Irish store across the street from the hotel, and Marianne is looking for a scarf for me and looking for socks. I was resistant to it, typical. And she reiterated it, and then, okay, all right, honey, maybe you're right. A pair of socks, put the socks on, wool socks, wool scarf. And they, as soon as I put them on, they're like, thank you. Thank you for persisting and illuminating me, and I apologize for being so dense. But and from that point on, having warm feet as we spent the rest of our time in California, and having a scarf around my neck made it so much more comfortable. She knew that's what I needed. Even though I didn't know and I resisted it, she continued. And this is what she did all the time. She did all the time. I believe and know that this is possible. One of our friends yesterday at the memorial service said, "This is what I asked myself," and I think my daughter Lisa said the same thing. WWMAD, what would Marianne do? So when you want to know how to do something, you want to draw in more awareness to handle a particular project, you want to know what course of action would be the most effective, what would Marianne do? Just opening up, reaching out in thought and feeling into, now, divine consciousness, where Marianne's energy resides, you go like, oh, this makes perfect sense. This makes perfect sense. Marianne saw opportunities to make things happen. Last night after the memorial service, everybody else is in bed, and there were just a couple of things that needed to be put away, organized for the morning. And I'm organizing I'm going to cook breakfast for the kids, and I'm organizing things before going to bed. I'm saying, this is what Marianne did. She organized energy. That was the game. She organized energy. Whether it's people, whether it's a trip, whether it's a contract negotiation, whether it's affiliate payments, whether it's a checkbook, whether it's a move of somebody from point A to point B, whether it's cooking food to give to somebody, whether it's arranging money for the schools we're building in Guatemala. She organized energy, and I'm doing this at 2 in the morning, and I'm going, this is actually fun. This is what Marianne did all the time. She looked at something, instead of doing what I did, which is, how much does it, and do I have enough energy for this? She didn't think of herself like I did. She looked at the energy that needed organizing, and then she organized it. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. And I thought, wow, wow, that is so cool. I believe that you protect and maintain me within perfect love. Marianne died in a hotel room in Sonoma, California. The image of her in bed is permanent. It's a permanent image, but it's in a hotel room. I'll never see that hotel room. I probably will never go to that area of California again. And it's there. I sense that she died in a place not in our home, didn't affect the energy in our home. The home is still filled with her love, no energy and negative images like that. And that is so kind. That is so kind. Because I think that if I had to look at the bed that she died in, I would like, number one, I can't have this bed. Number one, I can't have this bedroom. Number two, I can't, or it makes that three, I can't have this house. I'd have to sell the house. She protected me from that. She arranged so many things. She arranged so many things for my benefit. And I know that my eventual purpose is to express you. And of course, this prayer initially is, I want to express divine consciousness. I want divine consciousness to work for me, in me, and through me. And I want to be able to express it at some point as I elevate my consciousness. But I live with a person with an elevated consciousness. How much better of a teaching situation and a learning situation does a person need? I saw it in action for 17 and a half years, every day, multiple times. So if I don't know how to express more love now than I did 17.5 years ago, I'm really stuck with a problem. And of course, between Marianne and her wanting us to have a toy poodle, Nikki Nouveau, who died in April, those two increase my understanding of love and my ability to love and my willingness and courage that I was willing to love. Unbelievable, unbelievable to be tutored for 17.5 years on a daily basis on what love is like. Delivered directly to me, delivered directly to other people, being told to me in story form. I have to be one of the most fortunate men on the planet. As I speak to you, I know you are perfectly receptive of me, for you are universal, loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. 2 points. Perfectly receptive of me. Marianne would listen to me as if I knew what I was talking about and what I was saying was important, and she was pleased and proud to be with me, and that made me feel good about me, made me feel enough, and made me capable of being more loving to her and others. She would fill me, and other people benefited from that. It was like I was a watering can filled with love, and then I was able to spread it back to her and on others, our children, our clients, friends, even strangers. And she saw it. I guess she understood what was happening, and she persisted in doing it, and it was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Her receptivity, her openness, her acceptance of me made such a big difference in the way I conducted my life. And the second part of that is this universal loving intelligence which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We built this house. Marianne is an architect wannabe. She designed so many of the features of this home because they would allow her to make changes. Of course, they said, well, if you want to change it, no problem. You just have to pay for it. And she said, no problem. That was a big deal here in Naples. A lot of these builders were, no. This is a cookie cutter. You got a model A, B, C, D. Choose one, and that's the end of it. These people let modifications. So we have a superior kitchen and a outside guest room and a bathroom that's designed. A lot of really cool things. And she designed it. We just put solar up on the roof. She handled all the conversations with the solar company. It got done on the day we were leaving for California. Marianne has never been under the roof of this house when it had full solar on it. They had to send an instant message with the photos of it because we had to get to the airport. She designed and brought this into visible form. She designed our homes. She designed our lives. She designed our vacations. She designed our work and our travel. She designed our relationships with our children. All of this because of her loving intelligence. I know that as I ask you to speak to me, I am sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness. She left a body. She didn't leave me. I didn't lose her. Now, part of me knows that, but part of me doesn't accept that, and it puts me into great sadness. And now, as soon as the house is empty in a couple of days, other than me and her spirit and her energy, I'm going to struggle with that concept. But I know that she's just changed state. She's changed state. She's like in another room. She's not gone. She's just in another state. The other day when I turned Pandora on for the first time after she died, the first song I heard, which I had put into the memorial presentation done by Lisa and Jonathan, it's "My Love and I Are in Different States." When I watched her in action, you know, in physical form, the state of her consciousness was different than the state of my consciousness. It was different than the state of consciousness for anybody else I knew, for that matter. And now, she's in a different state. She was, and she still is. It's like, but, I have her in my memories. I have her images. I have her feel. I have her energy that's penetrated everything in our home. People used to walk into our home and go, "Whoa, what does this feel?" It's like, it's Marianne's energy, and mine to a certain extent, but it's our energy. She had put this into everything. The bricks, the walls, the furniture, you name it. People could feel it when they walked through the door. It's like, ooh, like must be coming out of the desert and stepping onto an oasis. That's how people were reacting when they would come into our home, the home that Marianne brought into physical form. So interesting to me to think of her, to talk about her, the stories. Just a wonderful, wonderful person. And the challenge in this sentence, and as I listen, I like to talk, not as much a listener, unfortunately. As I listen, you will be penetrating my human consciousness and coming ever closer to my increasingly receptive mind and heart. And to be immersed in love for 17 and a half years, every single day and night, that even a rock, even a self-defended, self-centered person could absorb things. And over time, I became so much more loving. And I knew it. Other people knew it. Our children knew it. Our friends knew it. Like, oh, it was as if somebody took the edges off, all the rough spots, polished it. It's like, yep. Made me really clear that love smooths all of this so the defenses can be dropped. And this idea that there's not enough energy is foolish. Of course there is. Of course there is. Marianne demonstrated that time and time again. We had an agreement when we got back together again. I negotiated this with Marianne. I said, look, we spent a lot of years apart, and I feel bad about that. In order to compensate, let's make an agreement to live to be 153 years old so we can have these extra years. We'll just extend our lifetime so we can be together all this time. She said, okay, I agree with that. I further stipulate that if we get tired, we can die at 120. But 153, or if we get tired, we can die at 120. She says, okay, I agree with that. I didn't recognize that I should have included in there the idea that I'm talking about calendar years. I'm talking about calendar years, not love years. Because in the way Marianne lived her life, she got more done in an hour than I could get done in 6 hours or 8 hours. And so she may have, and this makes sense to me now, that she may have lived 153 years in 69 years and some months. She took 153 years of love and caring and put it into 69 years. She took all this thoughtfulness and generosity and put it into 69 years. So now all of a sudden, the 153 years of loving, caring, expressions of kindness and thoughtfulness, all done. It's like there, 153 years, done. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. Oh, I forgot to make sure you understood I was talking about calendar years. So if that were true, if she said, in retrospect, the amount of stuff I would do in 153 calendar years is like a century's worth of loving, a couple of centuries worth of loving. How about a millennium of love? And for me, it would have been 153 years. I commit myself and my life and our children and grandchildren and friends into your care. Somebody said on Facebook, may Mary Ann rest in peace. I thought immediately, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. She's not going to rest in peace. She's going to be busy. She's an angel. She was an angel on earth. I used to refer to that. You're my angel. Hey, angel. And everybody else who knew her thought of the same thing. She's an angel. She's an angel. Now, unencumbered by a physical body that had some ailments, that girl was going to be flying around. If it's angelically possible to have a positive impact on planet Earth and the people that live here, that girl is going to be doing it. She may be greeting her puppy, Nikki Nouveau, and her brother and mother and my parents and my brother and other people, aunts and uncles and grandparents and other people that she's known and loved and has been known and loved by. But resting? I'm not thinking that's happening. She used to talk about next life. In next life, I'd like to come back, Tom, and marry you earlier. I said, well, if you have a next life with me, I would like that marriage to occur much earlier than this one. However, I have a feeling that your stature as an angel is going to qualify you for other tasks other than to come back into physical form. No, I want to come back. Well, okay. Certainly planet Earth and humanity and all the animals and beings on the planet need angels. We need angels. So there's no overabundance of angels on planet Earth. So if she comes back, she'll come back as an angel, I am sure. In the meantime, I commit myself and my life into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.